Well, good morning to you all. And a lovely morning it is. Maybe a little on the cool side earlier, but it's going to be a beautiful day. I'd like to read this morning from the 103rd Psalm, Psalm 103. And we'll read it verse 1. Psalm 103 and verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in heaven, in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, all ye angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, before we discuss this particular portion, I'd like to look back at the 102nd Psalm and read just the first few verses. Psalm 102, reading at verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, my bones are burned as a hearth, my heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread by reason of the voice of my groaning. My bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the rooftop. Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping. Now I hope that you have noticed the contrast between those two psalms. We don't know who wrote Psalm 102. Some commentators feel it is David, and it could be because there are other psalms of David where he seems to be very, very much down. But whoever the writer of Psalm 102 was, he was in a bad way. He was feeling very, very sorry for himself. Nothing seemed to be going right. He physically, mentally was in a funk. Is that a good word for it? He was just plain down in the dumps. Now, do you ever get that way? Most of us here, you know, are getting along. I was talking with Norm Alden and Elmer Rund out in the foyer between the meetings, And Elmer said to me, there was this old preacher. He must have been 80. Well, you know, I had to remind him that he and I are both awful close to that mark, and I'm not an old man yet. But we have reason. As we get older, we get infirmed, our backs hurt, our feet hurt, and things happen in our life. But you don't have to be old to get into that kind of a situation. How many people do you think there are in the state of Florida who had money invested in the stock market and then the decline started? And they're in a problem about that. And they think everything is going wrong. And all through our lifetime, we are subject, aren't we, to feeling sorry for ourselves. Well, the reason I read that 102nd Psalm, I'm normally not very downcast, but I read that psalm because it is a condition that exists among all of us, believers and unbelievers alike. And when we come to Psalm 103, we have the remedy. And so if you're not feeling very good today, if you're kind of blue, if you're down in the dumps, listen to what the psalmist, and this is David, listen to what he has to say in Psalm 103. Now, the psalm divides itself into four portions. Verses 1 through 5, those of you who take notes, is a praise to Jehovah. Verses 6 to 12 brings before us Jehovah's mercy and grace. Verses 13 through 18, Jehovah's condescension. And verses 19 through 22, a universal praise to Jehovah. So the psalm divides itself into those four parts, and we'll look at them one at a time. It begins by saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now, there are two words that are translated bless or blessed in the Old Testament. One of them we find in Psalm 1, where it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord." Now, that begins with the word blessed. And in that word, the meaning is happy. Happy is the man who does these things. David uses the same word in the 32nd Psalm, where he says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." And so what he is saying there is, happy is the man who does these things. He is a happy man. But you could hardly read Psalm 103 and say, "Happy the Lord, O my soul," because it's an entirely different Hebrew word. And that Hebrew word doesn't mean to be happy, but it comes from a root that means to kneel in adoration. And so when we say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," we are recognizing the fact that we are talking to one who is worthy of our adoration. It comes from a root word meaning to kneel. And so this first phrase is an exhortation to myself. Bless the Lord. Recognize the goodness and grace of God and bless him for it. O my soul. Now, the soul is the seat. The soul is what we are, or who we are. This is a body. Someday, that body will be laid to rest in a casket. And you can look at it, and you can say, "Poor old Jim, he never did succeed in losing weight, did he?" But I won't care. I'm not there. The essence of whom I am, the soul, is gone. And what the psalmist is saying here is, "Bless the Lord, right from the innermost core and part of my being. And then he goes on and he repeats it. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, anything that is repeated twice in Scripture is important. And it's important that we recognize that we need to begin our relationship with our God in an attitude of worship and adoration. But then it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The hymn writer said, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And that is very, very good theology. And so here the psalmist says, and forget not all his benefits. And then he goes on and he gives us a list of those benefits. Now the word forget not is also a very interesting word. I can't remember names. Do you have that trouble? I walk up to someone and I know him like my own brother or sister, but I can't put a name to the face. I know him well. I know what he does for a living. I know who his wife or his children are. I know everything about him, but I can't remember his name. But this forget, it really means to lose or mislay something because of inattention. And we have an inclination to forget the benefits that God has given to us. Now, God is a God who loves remembrances. Over and over in Scripture, he tells people, it shall be for you, to you, for a remembrance. And as a matter of fact, when God deals with the Jewish people, you remember, he gave them seven specific times in the year when they were to remember something. He wanted them to remember the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread and First Fruits and Pentecost, which is the remembrance of the giving of the law and the old covenant. He wanted them to remember the Feast of Trumpets, which lies in the future. He wanted to remember that he was going to call them together again. He wanted them to remember all the history. And several times in the Old Testament, we find either the psalmist or one of the prophets going right back to Egypt and saying, this is what the Lord did for you. Don't forget it. He brought you out of Egypt. He led you through the desert. He brought you into Canaan. He drove out the Canaanites before you. He gave you a land full of milk and honey. And several times over in the Old Testament, we have an accounting of that, a repetition of the prayer of Miriam and Moses and Aaron after they crossed the Red Sea. And God is a God who loves remembrances. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, just before he left, he instituted the Lord's Supper. And what did he say? This do for a remembrance of me. It is natural for us to forget. I had a letter from a high school classmate who announced to me that they were going to have a luncheon of the members of my class, the class of 1942. And so I went. You know, they were all old. But the thing that really amazed me is someone would come up to me and call me by name and remind me of something, and I had no recollection at all of what it was. And so the Lord here is saying, don't lose your blessing. Don't lose your admiration to God because you're forgetful. And you will be forgetful if you neglect. That's why in this gathering we so prize the Lord's table. It brings us back to the very core of our salvation. It does our hearts good. We may weep over the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is on the cross. We may feel sorrow because we have been responsible for putting him there. But we are joyous, and we remember, and we are grateful. And from these old cold hearts of ours, there just bubbles over praise and adoration for our God because we have remembered. And it sets the whole tone for the week that lies ahead. Throughout the week, we remember that we're His. Throughout the week, we remember how much we owe Him. Throughout the week, we remember how wonderful our salvation is. And God is a God of remembrances. And so He says, forget not. Be careful that you don't forget. Don't neglect and lose something. Remember all His benefits. And then He begins to list them. Forgiveth all thine iniquities, healeth all thy diseases, redeemeth thy life from destruction. Those three He begins with. Forgiveness, healing, and redemption. Now, Spurgeon, in his commentary on the Psalms, tells us that in this verse, the psalmist has selected three of the choicest pearls from the treasure chest of divine love, threads them, and hangs them about our neck. That's nice, isn't it? I'll say that again. Spurgeon says that the psalmist selects a few of the choicest pearls from the treasure chest of divine love and threads them and hangs them about her neck. And what are these three pearls? First of all, forgiveness. When we offend God, eventually, we become uncomfortable about it, don't we? When we offend God and realize, not so much that we've been disobedient, but realize that in offending God, we have made Him unhappy. And it's nice to know that when we tell Him that we have offended Him, when we acknowledge that we have offended Him, and when we ask for His forgiveness, He has promised that He will forgive. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so the Lord begins by saying He is offering to us forgiveness. Now, we have to qualify what is going on here. This is only for those who have accepted the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. There is no forgiveness outside of the shed blood of Calvary. There is no forgiveness apart from the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no forgiveness apart from the acceptance of the work that the Lord Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. If we try to have any part in it, then we have destroyed the whole concept. If we try to do it on our own merit or on our own works, we have destroyed the offer that God has made. He offers us forgiveness on the basis of the fact that His Son died on the cross. But for those of us who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, how wonderful to know that He forgives. And I want you to notice the extent of it. Who forgiveth all of thine iniquities. All of thine iniquities. He says, forget not all His benefits. All. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Now, I think, in fact, I'm quite sure that he is not talking here about physical healing. What did the man in Psalm 102 need? He needed a healing of the spirit. He was down in the dumps. He was feeling sorry. He was upset. He was feeling that he had been used. And now the Lord says to him, look, all of those problems that are in Psalm 102, I've taken care of. That's a disease, a spiritual disease, to be down in the dumps. Christians should be happy. Now we have sadness. And even in the midst of sadness, Christians are happy. And so he says, he forgiveth all thine iniquities, healeth all thy diseases, the diseases of Psalm 102, and redeemeth thy life from destruction. Now the word that is used for redemption here is the Hebrew word which means a kinsman redeemer. It is only on that basis that the Lord can redeem through the death of a substitute or through the payment of a substitute. Now, there are three qualifications mentioned in the Old Testament for a redeemer. First of all, he had to be a relative. It was absolutely required under Jewish law that the Redeemer be a relative. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ left heaven, we are told he took upon him a human nature. Not just a human body now, but a human nature. And since we are all descended from Adam, when he came and through Eve he took a human nature, he then is a relative of us. And so that was the first requirement of the kinsman redeemer, that he be a relative of ours. Now, the second requirement was that he had to be wealthy. If you are going to pay the price of redemption, you have to have the means to do it. Now, when sin entered the world, we are told that the wages was death. And so we had a debt to God, and conversely, we were in slavery to Satan. And now the Lord comes, and he takes upon him our nature without giving up his deity, but he puts the two together And I don't really understand all of that. That's well over my head to really understand the incarnation of the Lord. But he became a relative of us. The same genetic material that makes us up made up his body. The same type of individual that we are, he became, apart from sin. And now he had the means by which he could redeem us. How did God decree that redemption would come about? By the substitution of one who was spotless. We can't redeem ourselves. We don't have the ability to do it. And the scripture says no man can redeem his brother. We don't have the means to redeem our brother. We, everyone in this audience, is a sinner. And in order to pay the price for our sin and satisfy the holiness of God, it was necessary that a person without sin pay the price, and the price was death. And so we see a perfect man carrying a cross, walking up a hill outside the city of Jerusalem, and there offering to a holy God that which a holy God required, the price that had to be paid for our redemption. And so we're told, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. What a wonderful God we have. And when we're feeling sorry for ourselves, we need to do that. We need to recognize the benefits that God has given to us. What will we be today if God had not redeemed us? What would we be today if God had not redeemed us? I shudder to think. When we see the decline in the world, and we have to admit that there are times when we are affected by it too, but apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, and apart from the redemption that we enjoy in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, what would we be? I don't like to think of it. But more than that, let's go on to another verse. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Oh my, who satisfieth thy mouth with good thing, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. First crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. And the word that is translated crown means to surround you. The crown is a circle. It goes on the head. But the word that is translated crown here really carries with it the idea, not so much that God stuck a crown on our head, but really it means that he has surrounded us with loving kindness and tender mercies. The songwriter was right. when he said, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Think back on your Christian experience. Oh, we've had times when we were like the man in Psalm 102, every last one of us. But the Lord has crowned us, surrounded us with tender mercies and loving kindness. One of the few benefits of getting old is to be able to look back and testify as to the goodness of God in the life of a Christian. The unsaved don't have that. We know that we have one who loves us and one who takes care of us, crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, satisfieth thy soul with good things. My time is going by. I'd like to look at a verse in Psalm 107 and verse 9. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. And then there's that invitation in Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come you to the waters. Come, buy wine and milk. He that hath no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. He not only crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies, but he satisfies us. And of course, the use of the word food is an example. It is really food for the soul that he's talking about here. It is food for the spirit. And he satisfies us. Satisfies thy mouth with good. So thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, the eagle is the bird that soars. He soars way up in the sky, free from everything of earth. And there he is. We have an eagle around here. Once in a while we see him, and he soars up in the sky. Beautiful to watch. Now let's go back to Psalm 102. I am like a pelican in the wilderness, says the psalmist. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone on the housetop. Three birds, three conditions. I am like a pelican in the wilderness. What in the world can a pelican do in the wilderness? A pelican eats fish. A pelican has to be near water. And the psalmist says, I'm like a pelican in the desert, in the wilderness, in the desert, out of my element completely. He goes on and he speaks about being like an owl in the desert. Owls are creatures of forests and grasslands. They eat little mammals, and they need a place to hunt. They can't hunt out in the desert. And then he talks about the sparrow alone on a rooftop. You never see sparrows alone, do you? There's always a little group of them. And so here he is talking, and now the Lord says, look, he may be a pelican in the wilderness. He may be like an owl in the desert. He may be like a sparrow alone on the rooftop, but listen to me. I'll make you soar like an eagle. That grandest of birds, that most magnificent of birds. And the Lord does all of this for us. We'll have to stop. And we're less than halfway through. So come back tonight. And we'll finish. Let's pray. And now, our Father, how we bless Thee for Thy goodness, Thy kindness, Thy love, mercy and loving kindness in abundance unto our souls. And so, our Father, as we read these things and as we consider these things and marvel of all that Thou hast done for us, O our God, we can cry with our soul, bless the Lord, O my soul. We thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, whose work at the place called Calvary makes all of this possible. We thank Thee that in addition to the fact that we are cared for here, we thank Thee that we can look forward to that time when we shall be in Thy presence and see our Savior face to face. If there are those, our Father, who know nothing of the blessings of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that Thou would speak to them by Thy Spirit. And now as we part, we ask that Thou would be with us. We ask that Thou would dismiss us with Thy rich blessing upon us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.